be with you all. Amen. As Bill said a moment ago, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we're thankful for it. I'm not sure where you find yourself right now in the midst of all the change of life that we're experiencing. Maybe you're sort of tired of hearing about it. You know, it's like every day we're confronted with, you know, social distancing, wearing masks. By the way, if you want to take your mask off, you can now. If you don't, that's fine. Wearing masks, social distancing, all of the stuff that's going on. You know, I go into a store, I get to the front door, and it says masks, you know. And so, you know, I've got mine in my pocket here, and I'm sure you carry yours around as well. Kind of a constant reminder of the changing world in which we live. Well, certainly the pandemic, this COVID-19, is nothing to be laughed at or scoffed at. It's a very dangerous disease, flu-like disease. Seems to be pretty contagious, and it seems to have its ups and downs, its ups and flows. Really, when you think about it, life itself is really pretty uncertain, isn't it? I mean, especially if we think that we're in control of everything. And we realize and recognize, especially with this pandemic, that we're really not in control of anything. We live day by day. It's as I always share with people when I talk to them and they talk to me and I say, how you doing? And usually the solution to it all is day by day with Jesus. And that's how we live our lives. And that's not backing away from the reality of the evils that we live in, but it's knowing whom we depend on and who we trust in. And as we get up in the morning and we thank God for that, and we step out in faith to face a new day. But always we know that the Lord is not just on the way, but He is the way. This morning in Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, we have a really, I think, kind of a special theme here that Jesus is sharing with us. I would entitle it the Gospel Call. I mean, what is the Gospel Call? What is the Gospel message? What is the Gospel directive for you and for me each and every day that we live our lives? Well, it's pretty clear. In the gospel, we have God's mercy revealed. Secondly, in the gospel, we know it's centered in the work and person of Jesus. And thirdly, it brings us peace. Now, this word gospel, what does it mean? Well, you know what it means. Gospel, good news. You know, we live, like I said, in the midst of bad news. You know, I'm at the point in my life, I think I can step down here a little bit, can I? Yeah. I'm at the point in my life where I don't often like to listen to the news at night anymore. It's always so depressing. If it isn't a political mess, it's a health mess, or it's a relational mess, or it's a violent mess. I mean, we are living in a very messed up, fallen world. We're just overwhelmed with bad news. Easy for people to become depressed or just back away from life generally. I don't know how you feel about being secluded. Now we're a little more open. Hey, we're in worship today. How about that? Cool, right? Well, Bill and I had a great experience a moment or two ago, or a few minutes ago, the praise team as well. We were outside and I was talking to a bunch of cars. It was awesome. We said hallelujah and they flashed their lights and honked their horns. Well, I'm not saying that's the future of worship, but it was a good experience. And Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, you know, I'm there. And there's people at home listening to this worship as well. So there's all kinds of opportunities to get God's word out today. And that's the good news. You know, in the midst of crisis, God does bring about His good work. You remember in the book of Acts when the church was heavily persecuted? I mean, incredibly persecuted. You lost your life if you said you were a Christian. You were isolated and you were condemned. But yet we read in the book of Acts, and the church added what? To its numbers daily. Why is that? Why do you think in the midst of crisis and chaos and uncertainty that the church, the body of Christ, would grow? Answer's pretty easy, really. In the midst of chaos and crisis, who can we depend on? Certainly not ourselves. We have no control over what's going to happen. We do our best to take, safety measures. We do our best to be distanced from one another. We do our best to eat the right kind of food, right? Be healthy and so on and so forth. But we never know really specifically from one day to the next what's going to happen. My times, the psalmist says, God's word, my times are in God's hands. That's great peace. That's great comfort in the midst of this chaos and crisis. But really, all life has been that way. The writer to the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's really nothing new under the sun. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, really, there's nothing really new under the sun. Now, I mean, I was like 7 years old. You remember the polio epidemic in the 50s? Now, you have to be, you weren't born yet, let's see. But you had to be somewhat my age and so on. Well, I had polio when I was 7 years old. That was quite an epidemic. I mean, that was really spreading throughout our country. Took a while for the Salk vaccine to finally arrive, and then we were safe again. And we'll get through this too by God's grace. There'll be a COVID-19 vaccine as well. In fact, I read in the paper the other day, the vaccine might be available, but what about syringes? Oh my goodness, what's next? We try to prepare ourselves, but God is always prepared to deliver us and to rescue us. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus offers this prayer to his heavenly Father. It's really a prayer of confession, of faith and of trust. Jesus, of course, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, but yet what? God and man. And so Jesus says, at that time he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. I have hidden these, God, Jesus says, you have hidden these things which are mine from the wise and the learned. What does that really mean? Well, it simply means this. But if you're dependent upon yourself, if you're self-reliant, if you don't need God, if you think you can make it in this world no matter what happens because you're strong and you're wise and you have all the knowledge and all the understanding, well, that's wise and learned. And guess what? There's going to be no place in your heart or your life for God's deliverance and rescue in Jesus. You're going to keep him at a distance. You're going to depend on saving yourself. As opposed to a little child. What is a little child? It's pretty dependent on their parents, wouldn't you say? Incredibly dependent. It's a real lesson for us. Dependent on God. A childlike faith. God says, Jesus says, I'm with you always. We believe it. We don't doubt. I mean, why doubt it? I mean, we're going to have some doubts because things are going to happen to us and we think, well, if God is with us, this shouldn't happen. But we live in a fallen world and people get sick and people have relational problems and people die. And we might say, well, where's God? Well, he's still there. We're living out God's purpose and plan that he has for us in our life every day. And what's out there for us? Well, God knows. And he's going to bring it about in his time for us and for our good. Remember Romans chapter 8? All things work together for good to those who love God. Wow. Hard to believe. This pandemic, all things? Wow. Well, it's an opportunity. With every crisis becomes an opportunity for the gospel, for the call of the gospel to reach people's lives. Faith as a child. That's what God brings to you and to me in our faith. Blessed are those who have, what Jesus said to Thomas, who what? Have not seen and yet believe. In other words, Jesus sat down here. We're not like the disciples. We didn't walk with Jesus every day like that and listen to his word. I mean, physically come out of his mouth, you know? But he's still with us. This is his word, the Holy Scripture. All things are written that you may believe that what? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. God is there despite us seeing him physically. But he fills all things. Jesus was thanking his heavenly Father that he had the mission that he had, difficult as it was for sure. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if there's some other way, man. But it's the cross for me. And this cross just isn't for me, but who is it for? Every single human being whoever has lived and will live. That's God's way. So the gospel call reveals God's love and mercy. Cares about us. Loves us with an everlasting love. Age-old question. Why do bad things happen to, quote, good people? Well, we might say as Christians, why do bad things happen to Christians? Well, why not? We're not in heaven yet. We live in a fallen world. We're susceptible to COVID-19 or whatever else is out there. I remember in science class or biology class years ago when I was in high school, and we had to do a culture. You ever remember these things? And we took a swab and we just went on a doorknob, just a normal door. It wasn't a bathroom doorknob. It was just a doorknob. And that culture, you know, it grew in this material. Yowie! Couldn't believe the bacteria that's all around us and gets into us. And yet God has created a body like ours that's wonderfully made that can fight off that kind of stuff in good times when our body is sustainable for that. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, we are not exempt from anything in this world at any second or any minute. But that's okay. We don't live our lives in fear and trembling. We live our lives under the gospel call. God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, his protection and care. And his ultimate protection and care is what? The forgiveness of our sin and heaven is our home. I wish every Christian, I should go into the bumper sticker business, Bill.
Yes.
What do you think? I wish we had a bumper sticker that said, "The best is yet to come, Jesus." I'd love to put that out there because that's so true. And that's what Jesus was really telling his disciples. I mean, you remember in last Sunday's gospel and previous to that, Jesus was really telling the disciples about this, you know, hey, it's not going to be easy in this world. You're going to be up against it. Now, I'm going to be with you, but you're still going to have trials and you're still going to have troubles. But take heart, in John's gospel, Jesus says what? I've overcome the world. Take heart, I've overcome the world. You will have trouble, but because I've overcome the world, you will too. You'll get through this. Get over it. And the best is yet to come. And it is all about Jesus. He's the center of the gospel call. Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 25, you know these words, you've heard them, and you know where when I read them. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yet though he die, you shall live. Did I teach you confirmation? No, I didn't. Even though you die, yet you shall live. You see, death has no hold on us. Yes, we're sad when a loved one passes from this life to heaven. I mean, we know the loss because of the relationship. But we also have joy in knowing that the best is yet to come. God has conquered through His Son. The best is yet to come. Jesus also says, as the center of the gospel message and call in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You guys got to sit back here and hear these people. They know the words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are my grandkids. That's why I'm picking on them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm the life. You want life? I've come to give it to you what? Abundantly. You know the words. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That means full. That means a peace here. Remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the first Easter Eve? And they had all left. They ran away. You know, they were hiding. They gave it up. They forgot. Do you ever forget Jesus' words and promises? Sure we do. We get distracted by COVID, maybe, or something else. We get distracted. And Jesus came to them, not in judgment. What's with you people? I've told you I'm with you, and you just don't get it, do you? No. He didn't say that. What did he say? Peace be with you. In other words, God says, in the midst of our trials and our troubles and our struggles and our hurts and our heartaches, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And even though we may suffer physically, we are at peace spiritually. Even though we may suffer emotionally, we're at peace spiritually because of Jesus. How many times have you had somebody say to you, how'd you get through that? How did you get through that? And something I always kind of say, wait a minute, when somebody says this to me, well, you made it through, but I know, I don't think I could. And I go, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to. I wasn't able to other than Jesus. Because I know He's won. He's won the battles. He's conquered sin, death, and the power of the devil. And also COVID-19, all of that stuff. The good news, well, we got a lot to share. And finally, Jesus also indicates, come to me then. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Important for rest, isn't it? You know, when I was younger, I really did never say to my wife, usually, you know, how'd you sleep last night? I didn't say that. I just got up and went go. Now, we say to each other every day, how did you sleep last night? Why do we say that? Well, sometimes it's hard to sleep. I mean, you know, as you get older, things don't always work. Would you agree with me? Yes, things don't always work. And you have these struggles, you know, you think about things too much and you worry a little bit. Anybody worry a little bit? Okay, you know, these things begin to get at us more. We become a little more vulnerable because we're not as occupied with existence as we are thinking about who we are and what's ahead. And we know that rest, physical rest, is really important. What happens in when you rest and you sleep? You guys have already heard the sermon, so I'm not going to ask you. What happens when you... Why is that good to sleep at night? Why is that good to rest?
Regain energy.
Regain energy. Okay, yeah. What happens with the cells in your body? They get moving and they get going and they grow and they, you know, it's a way to keep, you know, health. Well, resting in Jesus is a way to get going too. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the water. You wouldn't know that because that's an older song. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the water. And who stilled the water? Jesus. And who calmed the soul. Who calmed the soul. Jesus' word to Peter was, don't take your eye off me. I know the waves are there and the water's deep. But if you take your eye off me, you're going to sink. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest, boy, he means it. Peace in my soul. You know, there's a... I didn't mention this in the first two services, so this is something new, Bill. I wanted you to know that. Yes. You doing okay back there?
Yes, fine.
Hardly see him. He's behind the corner. You remember the author, or I should say hymn writer, Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte Elliott wrote the hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. And in that word, in that hymn, it went on to say, you know the words too, but I'll say it here, with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, Jesus says, come to me. What a description. Isn't it so fitting? Many conflicts, many doubts, fightings and fears within and without, Jesus says, come to me. That's why we're here this morning. We're here in worship today because God has called us through the gospel of the power of the Spirit and said, come. You need to hear this word today. You need to hear my word today. You need to know that I'm with you in this and I'm going to bring you through it. Not only this present pandemic stuff, but life in general. I created you. I love you with an everlasting love. And not only you, but we can't forget to remember others too. Others too. We mentioned conflicts and how that opens doors. And boy, have you experienced it in your own life? You probably have talked to people who said, "Man, this is bad. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Our world's going. Are we lost?" I've had a number of people say, "This is Jesus coming again." You know, my answer is yes. He sure is. Now, is he coming after the pandemic? I don't know. But you know, all of the stuff that goes on in the world, Jesus talks about it in the Gospels. You know, wars, rumors of wars, riots, famines, brother against brother, people against people. And then the end shall come. I think it's just a wake-up call for us. I think God is reminding us, once again, the only thing sure in life and certain in life is my word and my promise for you. And that's your word. It's God's word for us today. Weary, heavy laden, it's the gospel call. Come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Well, I pray tonight that you have a good night's sleep. And I pray that your night's sleep will begin with, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done and will continue to do. For heaven is my home. God grant it, for Jesus' sake, for his kingdom, and for more people to be saved through the gospel call. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. 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 We have an opportunity now to respond to God's word today. And we do that joining our hearts in prayer as we confess our sin, our weakness, our doubt before God, our Heavenly Father, and then are assured through His word of our forgiveness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for reminding us again that You are there for us, always and forever. And we confess to You today that we are so often overwhelmed with worry and fear. There's so much bad news in the world today that it often seems to overshadow the good news. But the good news, Your good news of love, forgiveness, mercy, grace, and rescue, it's above it all. Lift us today in faith and remind us of Your words of promise and of sure hope. We are sorry for our sins, the sins that we commit in thought and word and deed. And we thank You for Your rescue and the forgiveness of our sin. For You have told us in Your word, through Jesus and His precious blood, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Thank You, Lord, for covering us each and every day under Your wing of mercy. We don't deserve it, but we are so thankful for it. And empower us, and empower Your church today to bring the sure and certain word of hope, the gospel call to our fallen world. May we see a resurgence of contact, of commitment, and of service in Your name. We ask this, Lord, and we pray it in Your name, under Your forgiveness for us, in Jesus' name, amen. And now let's join our hearts together in the